Everybody's good? Did you live a fruitful life this week? You didn't live busy, did you? And we dealt with that. I caught myself. Somebody asked me this week. They said, how you doing? I'm busy, man. Busy. They were like, you didn't listen to yourself preach. And so we're not living busy lives. We're living fruitful lives. And I believe that's what God wants from each one of our lives. And you know, we're in a supernatural makeover. Supernatural makeover. And really, if I wanted to, I could just use the saints as an illustration. Can I have a good amen? I mean, they're in a supernatural makeover right now. It's supernatural to some degree. But I'm going to encourage you today, because we've got a lot of different things. As we've talked, we're going to really cover this for the next couple weeks, to go to our website. And our web team has done an A-plus job. Incredible articles. A lot of ways for you to tap into some change, transformation in your life, whether it's relationship, finances, physical health, all different kinds of things, of course, spiritually. And then also, we've got a great little window on there that you can click on. It'll take you to a lot of, my goodness, it must be 4 or 5 pages of truth about fasting. And we're going to cover that a little bit this morning. And so there's a window that says 14-day prayer and fasting. The church is going on a 14-day fast and prayer. We'll talk about it now. Sometimes when you say the word fast, everybody immediately gets hungry. So just hold down. You're going to be okay. And but you can go to our website. It's an A-plus site. And so it goes up today. And then also, don't forget, online, you can fill out prayer requests. These are very important. Many lives, many stories that are right here. And if you didn't get to fill one out during the week, if you just find out about something, all of a sudden you need prayer immediately, you can go right there to our website, fill in a prayer request, and immediately our team will begin to pray for the needs that are going on in your life. And we believe that God will do a miracle in every life. We just are believing God for miracles. We believe God answers prayer. Amen? And so make yourself available of those things. So let's talk for a few minutes. Let's pray and let's get ready to open up the Word. Father, we love You. We thank You for what You're doing. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that You'd be with us. We ask, Father, that out of Your Word, You will speak truth to us. Out of Your Word, You'll open it up to our life. Lord, even sometimes we talk about our health and our physical bodies and prayer and fasting that normally we could just kind of log off on, and it's just not something we think's important. But then all of a sudden we see scripture, after truth about Your desire for us to live healthy lives. Your desire for us to go into a season of prayer and fasting where we totally depend on You, God. Your desire that even at times that You're pleased with the sacrifice that we have, Father, that we bring You. Lord, I believe even like when people make decisions to do things radical in their life, just because they love You. They just love You so much. They want to do things radical for You. Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. We want to welcome all those who have joined us through TV and all those that have joined us in Danville and all the other websites and things like that. We're just so glad that you're with us today. And I believe God's going to speak to you. Hey, why don't we clap our hands for all of those who have joined us through media. Thanks a lot. Great. Thanks for being here. I want to talk for a few minutes. We're in a series called Supernatural Makeover, and I want to talk for a few minutes this weekend about living in the fast lane. Living in the fast lane. You know, it's just to be honest with you, it's hard to even cut on the TV, and as you cut it on and begin to flip the channels, and not to run into some type of a makeover flow. I mean, they're just everywhere. You can't watch TV without running into some type of makeover. And that's what we've been talking about a supernatural makeover, that God wants to bring change into our life. God wants to bring some transformations into our life. And there are dozens of shows that deal with health and weight and body image. It's all over the place. When you sit down, you kind of sit down to relax, and all of a sudden you click it on. And there's Kirsten Alley. She's talking about weight loss. And then you click again. There's the Olsen twins dealing with eating disorders and all different types of things. And you click again. There's bodybuilders. And they're kind of supersizing it. Then you click again. There's Nip and Tuck. And you click real quick. And then you you click again. And there's, you know, Celebrity Fit Club. I mean, it's just everywhere. As you click the channels, you run into Botox and you run into big is beautiful and you click and then there's the ab roller, as you can tell that I don't watch that one too much. And you click again, then there's diet pills and click, and then there's South Beach, click, there's Atkins, click, there's Jenny click, Craig, click, 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 and all of a sudden, then you run into the Food Network. What's that all about? Cooking shows and restaurant overview. And so it just all of a sudden for me, all of this clicking does two things for me. Number one, it's kind of my workout for the day. And as I click so much, I feel exhausted by looking at different channels. And then the other thing is sometimes there's so much stress on which diet, which workout, which mode of health, which procedure, who to listen to. Sometimes it so stresses me out, it makes me want to eat. And that's how I deal with the stress of figuring out which workout and which carb and which cardio and which flow and which new thing and new trend that's out there. Because there's so much that deals with our body image. Our body image. Where do you begin? How do you start? What's right for you? What's not right for you? And then the question that sometimes I think about, does God even care about it? Does God even care about our health? Does God even care about exercise? Does God even care about us living healthy lives? Well, I believe as you read His Word that He does care. And He wants you and I to live healthy lives for His glory and not ours. He wants you and I to walk in spiritual fitness as well as physical fitness. He wants us to live healthy lives, not for us to draw attention, but so that we can live a life of purpose and live a life of mission for Him. There's even a scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians. It talks about chapter 6. It tells us a great scripture. It says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? What an interesting thought. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. God has given us the body. God has given us this opportunity to live this life. We're made in the image of God. He's given us this body. And the Bible goes on to say, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Got to honor God with your body. So the Bible's clear that we belong to Him. It's His. And we are to bring Him honor and glory with how we live our lives and how we treat this temple, this body that God has lent us, that God has let us borrow. We got to be careful that we do not violate the one who owns this building that He's given us. Bible says that He paid a great price, that really your body is not your place, your body is not yours, that you have a body by God. He's the designer of it. He's given it to you. He paid a high price for all the space called body. Matter of fact, the most expensive real estate in Baton Rouge is your body. It's not some corner. It's not some incredible residential lot. It's not some commercial property. The most expensive real estate on the planet is the ones that God has given body to, soul and spirit, because Jesus paid the ultimate price. You say, well, Dino, this is my space. Do whatever I want with my space. No, it's not. It's His space. We need to realize that more and more, that He has given us this because you're of value to Him. You matter to Him. And I believe He wants you and I to push through whatever it takes so that we can live a life that's honorable to Him in our body, our soul, and our spirit. We can live an honorable life where we can hear His voice and we can just be sold out to Him in 2007. Just living unto Him, surrendered to Him this year. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we want to make supernatural makeovers in our life this year. That's one of the reasons why we want to bring change into some areas. There's some things about us maybe that we want to surrender to God, that we want to adjust, that we want transformation in, because we want to hear His voice. We want Him to be first in our life. We want to live surrendered to Him. We want Him to be pleased with the decisions that we make. We want to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. We want to honor God with how we live our lives and how we treat people, how we care for others. I believe for many of you, that is a desire in 2007, but you also know for that to fully take place in your life and in your home and in your heart, there has to be continual changes that take place. God is a God that values us. God is a God that wants to see those positive changes take place and those negative influences to be less in our life. I think it's why at the beginning of the year, it's good to make some decisions. It's good to offer Him up maybe some first fruit changes about how we want to live our life. Maybe set some goals. We call them New Year resolutions, but maybe really what we need is some revolution. Can someone say amen? So there's some changes. There are some things that we want to say yes to, and then there are some things that we want to say no to. This year, there's probably some things that you've already thought about. I know there's some things that I've dealt with that I have said on the inside no to. And there's some things on the inside that I've said yes to. Life is a lot about that. There are some things that when you read God's word, that He wants us to say yes to. And then there's some things when you read God's word, that there's some things that He wants to say no to. Body, soul, and spirit. Who we are, who God has given us. But the reality of it, I think we all know this. In the reality of the yes, and in the reality of the no, in the reality of changes, in the reality of good influence, bad influence, especially at the beginning of the year, we will make decisions to say yes. We will make decisions to say no. But then sometimes we find it hard to keep them. Because there is a definite tug of war that begins when you start saying yes to certain things and you start saying no to certain things. There's a tug of war that can happen on the inside of your life. There's a tug of war that can happen in the spirit of a marriage. There's a tug of war that can happen when it comes to your finances or your physical body. When you start saying, I think I will say yes to these positive, healthy things, and I'll say no to these negative, destructive things. There's a tug of war, a battle, a fight that begins to rage on the inside about who's going to get yes and who's going to get a no. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 is like a monologue that goes on in a person's life between yes and no. Between what God wants and what the devil wants or the enemy wants or what your flesh wants. See, God comes in and He gives you a new spirit. He gives you a new heart. But then there's that flesh. There's that old man. The Bible even talks about an old man that's on the inside of you that doesn't want to surrender your life, your will, your decisions to the Spirit of God. How many here have ever made a decision for God and immediately you felt a battle that started? Can I have a better amen from the house? I mean, you've been there before. You've made decisions. You sensed something in your heart. Maybe there was a conviction or you felt on the inside this regret or this remorse. I don't want to say that anymore. I don't want to treat that person like that anymore. I don't want to be involved with that anymore. And as soon as you make that decision, you begin to pray. You begin to possibly get connected or get in the Word. All of a sudden, there's this struggle, this tug of war goes back and forth. Paul talks about it, defines it in Romans chapter 7. He says there's yeses from God, but then there's no's. And a lot of times we start saying yes, but then we end up doing the no's. And a lot of times we're going to say no, but then things happen and we end up saying yes to things that we don't want to do. And we say no to things that we're supposed to do. We give in to things on the inside, even though we want victory, even though we want to overcome, we want to win. But the yes is never complete. My no is never final. I end up giving in to it, and I do things that I don't want to do. And Paul is saying, where's the inward power? Where's the inward energy? Where's the inward passion to keep my yes, yes, and my no, no? Maybe just minor things that we're talking about this year. May just be some little things that you just want to adjust. You want to tweak. You want to change. Could be major things. Could be sin stuff where there's life controlling habits. There are things that are happening in your life that are destroying you. There are things in your life that you know have a hold on you. Maybe you're here and there's these addictions. There's these things that are robbing the relationship, that are robbing the hope, that are robbing the truth that you realize. And you think to yourself, how do you overcome it when you know it's wrong, but you keep giving in to it? And you let it win. And it happens again and again and again and again. And my yes never stays a yes, and my no never stays a no. What do you do? Is there any help? I'm here to tell you that there's some help. And there's one that has been there and done that. And he came out victorious. He's our model. He's our example. He's our Savior. And he lives on the inside of us when we receive him and we ask him to. Would you look at the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 4. It's a great picture of Jesus. Jesus has now gone public. Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and heavens open up, and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Look what the Bible says immediately that Jesus does, because I have read this over and over again, and it has been major help to me for me to be able to push through to the strength that I have needed in times in my life, or in areas of my life. And there's still some major areas, still some minor areas that I want to see God push through to the yes, push through to the no. And this scripture has been power for me. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, full of the Holy Spirit. Returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit. Everybody say, led by the Spirit. In the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all during that time and became very hungry. So here's Jesus. He's been baptized. God is upon him. He makes this decision. He's all of a sudden, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. But then the Bible says that he is tempted by the enemy. Temptation comes by the devil and begins to bite down on him. And for 40 days, he is in the wilderness. You can read the temptations. You can read the scenario. And there's Jesus. He's eating nothing. He is fasting and he is praying. He goes from being baptized. He goes from being blessed. He goes from being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, into a season of prayer and fasting. There he is in that war. He's being tempted. He's in the war. He's in the struggle. He's in this turning point time for you and I. And I believe that in 2007, many of you may be in a turning point year. It's a pivotal season for you. It's a turning point. It's a moment. It's key. It's crucial. Jesus is there. He's in crucial moments. He's in the fight. And you know what he's doing in the wilderness? As he's fasting, as he's been brought into a season of prayer and fasting, he is saying no to some things, and he is saying yes to some things. The devil is tempting him. The devil is trying to draw him towards power and influence and relying on self and thinking that it's all about, you know, his power, and that, you know, he could take that power and use it for this and use it for that. And he says, no, no, no. Me and my Father, we are so connected. I will not act on my own. And he stays in that struggle. He stays in that tug of war. You know what the good news is? The good news is he walks out of it. He's our example. He wins. He has the victory. He pushes through. And because he did, you and I can. He overcame. You and I can be free because of Jesus winning the battle. We can change. We can push through. There can be things that are different this year than they were last year. Because Jesus is our Savior. We draw strength from what he went through. I love how it ends in verse 14. It says, then Jesus returned to Galilee. How did he return? Look what the Bible says. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Yes. Yes. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. See, he goes into the wilderness filled. He's there in a season of fasting and praying. He's led by the Spirit. He's filled with the Spirit. But then he enters into this season, this struggle, this war of yes and no's. And he's in a season of prayer and fasting. But then he comes out filled with the power of the Spirit. Because there's a difference between just being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit to walking in the power of the Spirit. And it's interesting that he found it there in the wilderness in that season of prayer and fasting. That season where he dedicates himself before he goes off and does the ministry, before he goes off into the village, into the city, into the multitudes. He goes into that season where he's with God. He pushes through. He experiences the power. When I read this, you can see what happened. Jesus is our model. Can I tell you what I have found out? I believe that so much of the supernatural makeover that many of you desire and that I desire can happen when you enter a season of prayer and fasting. I believe it with all my heart. Now, it's got to be according to your faith. You got to understand physically what you can do and what you can't do. It's real important. But my prayer is that this year you'll do the right thing. You'll say yes and it'll stay a yes. You'll say no and it will stay a no. Because I believe many of you want freedom. You want change. You want to see something happen on the inside. But you sense no energy. You sense no power. There's no overdrive. There's no four-wheel drive. But when you lock into the powerful weapon of prayer and fasting and you begin to walk in that, it's amazing the heavy lifting that God will do in your life and the heavy voice that will come to you. Because God wants to see you push through to some yes and push through to some no's. He doesn't want to see you live another year. He doesn't want to see me live another year where we just give in. And it's never complete. It's never final. There's never a breakthrough. He wants a breakthrough. Jesus is our model. He went into the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness with power. He came out of a season of prayer and fasting with power. And I believe you and I, when we enter into that Spirit-led season of prayer and fasting, I feel it for us as a church. I just sense something about this year, something about what's on the landscape of the next several months. I just sense that we need to be in a season of prayer and fasting. That's why we'll start a 14-day fast tomorrow as a church. And we'll go for 2 weeks and we'll talk about it. There's all kinds of things on our website that can help you understand whether it's one day or one meal, whether it's one month, all according to your faith. Because there's a powerful weapon when you walk in that. Look at Matthew chapter 17. I think this is a great scripture for us to understand about the power that takes place and is available to us during a season of fasting and prayer. Matthew chapter 17. This is where Jesus is on the mountain of transfiguration. God has come down. Some of the disciples are at the bottom of the mountain. A man brings over a situation that is just rough and it's tough and this boy needs to be healed. Matter of fact, the man says, my son is full of the devil and he's destroying his life. It's destructive in our home. And so the disciples try to fix him, try to cure him, and they can't do anything with him. And they're just standing there debating over it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Atkins diet? Ab roller? What's next? Jesus comes off the mountain and says, what's going on here? And they begin to point fingers. He says, number one, Satan, shut your mouth. Son, you free him. Boy gets free. Disciples stand there saying, well, it didn't work for us. Later on, Jesus pulls them aside. And they said, we blew it, Jesus. We know what we were doing. He says, I know what you blew it. He says, but let me help you understand what took place. And he describes to them, because Jesus is a God that wants to help people that are willing to attempt a few things. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Willing to take a chance. Go after it. And he says to them in verse 19, he says, the disciples came and said to Jesus privately, why could we not cast out that devil? Why couldn't we get this thing off of us? Why couldn't we shake it off of that family? And Jesus said then, because of your unbelief. He didn't say it was a power problem. It was a faith problem. Power was available. They hadn't tapped into it. So as I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. Now, would Jesus have said to the disciples that there are certain things that will not budge, will not move, will not even scoot, except through prayer and fasting, if he didn't believe it? Do you think he just looked around and said, y'all need to lose a few pounds? I'm going to throw this one at you. I think it had to have something different than just drive by Krispy Kreme. He was saying to them, there's plenty of power. Power's not the problem. But there are certain things that don't change. There are certain strongholds that won't budge. There are certain powers that won't leave. There are certain addictions that won't release. There are certain hurts that won't move except by a season of prayer and fasting. Why would he say it if he didn't mean it? Because he knows that prayer and fasting are good for us. They get us in touch. They get us aligned. They get us awakened. And the other thing is, it's just good for our body every once in a while. Because our stomachs rule the world. Rawr, rawr, feed me! Whoa! I mean, they're already just saying, the saints are on, get ready! Nacho! Whoa! Whoa! We'll stuff ourselves, just stuff it in. And our stomach's like, whoa, get ready, playoffs! Because our stomach is just going to have to work overtime. It'll be up all night long just working. All the blood from our body will rush to our stomach just to work it all out. Could you imagine if you went on a fast for a day or a meal, all of a sudden that blood would be released back to your brain. You would become smarter. I mean, you'd be like, if you just decided to fast today, you'd be like Einstein. Because our stomachs are just like, rah, rah. I mean, sometimes we need to just not listen to the flesh and just detox from the control of the flesh and the world that so controls our lives. Just be aligned and awakened. Because there are certain doors that won't open. There are certain difficulties that won't settle except through prayer and fasting. He's not saying that fasting gets the favor of God and it changes God's mind and it creates more power, because power's not an issue. It's being aligned and our spirit's being awakened to Him. I remember the first fast I ever went on. I was getting ready to graduate out of Bible college, needed direction in my life, had a lot of voices in my head. Getting a lot of yes and no's. I was dating Delin. I felt like I wanted to marry her, but I didn't know how that was going to work. I just made this big, bold statement. Till I hear from you, God, I'm not eating. That's a bad decision to say. I just wanted to tell you, don't pray that prayer tonight. Don't go there. And you know what happened? I just did liquids. I mean, I liquefied. I mean, I was trying to liquefy a ribeye. I went 4 days. I mean, I was drinking 4 days without food. I was drinking protein, whey protein, soy protein. I'm drinking everything. I mean, I drank so much. I didn't lose a pound. But I wasn't eating anything. I mean, and you know how the Bible tells you, don't tell anybody? I'm just like, oh, fasting! Wait a moment! I just walked through the cafeteria. Oh! Oh, I'm fasting. God's good. Praise God. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have Bill Bright's book. I didn't have a website. I didn't know anything. I just saw fast. I hear from God. And like day five, I was laying on my bed and I thought I was dying. And I laid on that. I said, okay, it's the last weekend I'm ever going to live. Sit. And I laid there and it was like the Lord in His grace spoke to me for a moment and said, it has taken me 5 days to get all of the voices out of your head. He didn't give me an answer, but you know what happened? I got aligned with him. He showed me a picture in a party when someone's across the room and you can't get to them. You can't get their attention and they can't hear because of all the noise. He said, your life has been like that. It's been so crowded. And for 5 days, I've had to scoot and move all these people out. And now you and I can go one-on-one. So you go eat because you're driving me crazy. And we're going to deal with Delin and we're going to deal with your future later. Man, I drove to Rax. Anybody remember Rax, man? Scarfing it down. Got sick all night long. Did everything wrong. Sometimes, I really believe this healing place. I think God wants us to go into a season of fasting and praying. Fasting is so normal. It's all over the Bible. It's so needed. It's so necessary in our life. And it just kind of works. Sometimes it's like that. God just wants to stack on some prayer and fasting. I got some way. Shane, would you come a little spotter right here? And I was going to do this illustration because, you know, I just throw weight around all the time. But I just felt like that if I got hurt doing that and the preacher went down, that wouldn't be good. We couldn't finish the sermon. So I just got Shane to do it for me. I just felt like, you know, he's kind of still working. He's just starting out. And so here's what happens. Shane, get down. Here's what happens. What happens in life is there are times we pray and we fast maybe and we talk to God a little bit. Just, you know, we kind of do a little lifting and, you know, kind of catch it. And so, okay, yeah. Oh, son. Check him out. Check him out. Check him out, y'all. Check him out. Come on, let's give the brother some love. And so this is just life. We just do a little prayer. We do a little fasting. Okay, that's good. I can do that many times too. Okay. But then here's what happens. There are seasons that if you really want to see some muscles, sometimes God says, I want you to stack. Don't you like the sound of that? When they did that, my muscles grew just then. Just the clack of the weight. How strong. But then, hold on a second, Shane. Go ahead and sit down. What happens is there are times, listen to me, that God says, let's stack on a season of prayer and fasting. Because I want to do some heavy lifting through your life right now. There's some solid things I want to build. And it'll take work. It'll take challenge. It'll take sweat. But you know what? A muscle can't be built unless there's resistance. So your body's going to resist. Sometimes, you know, it just resists everything. But God just says, I want you to push through all that. I want you to push through to me. I want you to do something. I want you to reach out to what I have for you. And remember, it's always good to have a spotter. Whether it's a life group, Healing Place Women, a men's group on a Wednesday or a Friday. Whether it's Life University, we do on Wednesday nights. This week we'll talk about the process of change. Getting accountable. Because what happens with a spotter is it helps you to lift more. And so I believe God says, I want to stack on prayer and fasting, and I want you to do some heavy lifting in 2007. Come on, check him out, check him out. Come on, let's give the brother some love right now. Come on, the power team, you can do it! You can do it! One more! One more! Oh! Son, I feel strong! I didn't do anything! Give it up for Shane. How'd you like that? How'd you like it? Here's my hope for you. What's wrong? It's messing with you, Adam. Adam lifts. You can see he's over here holding the camera. I'm Mr. Cameraman. I got big biceps. Here's my hope for you next 2 weeks. We're going to church-wide 2 week prayer and fasting. Get crazy for God. Just what, according to your faith. God stopped me and said, you know, Pastor, I'm giving up soft drinks, but I didn't have to give up coffee. I said, why? He said, because I'm on a fruit and vegetable diet, and it comes from a bean, therefore I'm drinking coffee. So, man, that's creative. Whatever it is, God will speak to you. I know a guy right now who's fasting television. So just all kinds of, one day a week. You say for 14, I'm going to fast 2 days or one meal. A friend of mine right now is fasting from sundown to sunup. He's not eating snacks at night. He's just connecting with God. He's just aligning himself with the word and worship and with prayer. Because God wants you and I to live healthy lives. And there's times where he wants to stack on some things and you and I push through. Last scripture, Isaiah 38:16. Lord, listen to this. Your discipline is good. For it leads to life and health. You restore my health and you allow me to live. Boy, wouldn't that be great to walk in this year? You allow me to live and your discipline. I'll take the challenge. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll not be afraid to take steps of faith. I'll push through a few things. Whether it's one day, 1 hour, one meal, one thing, one moment, one weekend, one prayer meeting, maybe a Tuesday or Thursday morning. We're going to pray on Thursday nights. Just a few weeks, kind of call a prayer meeting on a Thursday night where you just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut down. I'm going to come do some heavy lifting in prayer for about 2 hours. I'm going to lock in and I'm going to do some heavy lifting, getting intimate with Jesus because I want to see change in my life and my children need it. And I need this breakthrough. And I'm not trying to win God's favor. I'm trying to align myself with his voice. Because we need his voice. Let's just not be filled with the Spirit, but let's walk in the power of the Spirit so that our yes will be yes and our no will be no. Amen. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray together right now. With your head bowed, I just want to take one moment. I sense this in my heart. No one moving. You're here today. You say, I want to begin this year right, Pastor. I tried doing it on my own. I tried. I need Jesus to be my spotter. I can't lift anymore. I can't push through another day. I'm inviting Jesus into my life. Him to be Lord of my life. I'm making a decision. I'm inviting him. I want him in my life right now. I've tried to do it on my own, and I want him. All over this room. Maybe you're even watching right now through TV and you want that decision. Wherever you're at, you're valuable and you matter to him. All over the balcony, all throughout the back, through the front. Right now, if you say, that's me. I need him today. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Would you just lift up your hand all over this room? You just say, you just know it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, hands are going up all over this house right now. Come on, I just see hands. I see faith building right now. All in the back, in the balcony. I see faith building right now. I see some of you building faith right now. You're saying, I don't have the power. I don't have the energy. I don't have what it takes on the inside. But I know he can. Come on, all over this room. Anyone else to say, that's what I need. I just need Christ in my life right now. I want to receive him as my Savior. I need him. I'm ready to push through in some areas of my life to embrace him in my life right now, this year. And it's going to last. It's going to be complete. It's a final decision that I'm making. It's yes to him. And it's no to the world. It's no to the devil. It's no to sin. It's yes to God. It's yes to him. Come on, if that's you and you raised up your hand, I just sense faith building. I just want you to stand wherever you're at right now. Just stand to your feet right now if you just sense that. I see people standing all over this place. Boy, I feel faith building right now. All over this house, in the back, in the balcony. Hey, let's clap our hands for those that are standing. All over this house. Come on, you believe it. You just sense it's right now. You feel it's right now. Come on, church, let's clap our hands. Faith is building. Let's do this. If you're standing, I want to invite you right now just to move out of your seat. And I want you to come and meet Pastor right here. Hey, let them out right now. If you want prayer, let's everybody stand right now as they're coming. Let's everyone stand. Come on, let's clap our hands one more time for those that have made decisions. Only if you feel comfortable. Hallelujah. Come on, Jason, lead us. Dylan.
Here I stand, waiting, Lord. Touch me now like never before. Let me
let's sing this, church. Come on, church, let's everybody sing this. Intimacy.
True intimacy is what I'm longing for.
Our staff, our prayer partners.
Here I stand.
Come forward right here, Jason.
Waiting,
buddy.
Lord, touch me now like never before. Let me change. Transformed, true intimacy is what I'm longing for. Here I stand.
Waiting, come on, men, let's sing it. Come on, ladies, come on, young people, let's sing it. Like never before.
Like never before. Let me change and be transformed.
Intimacy is what I'm longing for.
Is what I'm longing for.
Let me lead you in prayer. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Thank you for coming forward. That took a bold move. Maybe you didn't feel like it was your deal and you're comfortable with that. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray together right now. Just right out of your heart. If you're sensing transformation, if you want God to forgive you, give you a new beginning. Say yes to His things. Say no to other things. Say yes to those positive things. No to those things. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. It's no longer I that liveth. It's Christ that liveth in me. Pray this with me, church. Say, Jesus, I ask you to be Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from sin, selfishness, all those things in my life. I ask you to transform my heart. I'm going to live for you. In the name of Jesus, I surrender all. I surrender all to your Lordship. Be my King. Be my spotter. Be my best friend. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I'd like for our prayer partners to pray individually with every person that's here in the front. Hey, church, have a great week. Don't forget to get those meals. We'll see you back here next week for some more makeover. God bless. Exit away from the altar. Exit away from the altar.